you will never be able to put this power that is in you to its maximum use unless you believe. You know, there's a powerful word in the Bible. It's reckon. Reckon. Count it to be so. And I'm going to encourage you, my Christian brother and sister, count it to be so. Reckon that you actually have the power of the Spirit of God living in you. Count it as a fact.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In last week's message in his series on the book of the Acts, Pastor Brian Grant took us to the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, describing for us what a game changer that was. This week, Pastor Grant continues that message as he describes for us the signs of the arrival of the Holy Spirit and the purpose for his coming. If you have your Bibles, please turn once again to the second chapter of the book of Acts. And now, Pastor Brian Grant.
Have you ever been in a hurricane or tornado? You know, I'm from one of the islands, so you would have assumed since I lived there all my life I'd been in a hurricane. But do you realize that I was born in a particular year, the hurricane, a terrible hurricane hit Jamaica just before I was born. And not one hurricane hit Jamaica. The 20-something years I lived in Jamaica, there were no hurricanes. And no sooner I left Jamaica, the hurricane started hitting again. So I've never been in a hurricane. Now, of course, some of our friends, they were praying for hurricanes to hit so they could experience it. I just never had that desire. I was praying, Lord, keep those hurricanes away. And it is so funny. You know, many years, hurricanes would be heading our way, and they would just veer off and hit Cuba. Heading, veer off, and I'm not saying any reason why that was God's providence. But you know, the wind has such unbelievable power. Just last week, I was watching a tornado. And this tornado, the results of this tornado, it had totally devastated this house. But then it had lifted a car. And it had taken the car from the street. And it had put the car right in where the living room was. The unbelievable power of wind. And God is using the wind because he's trying to get a message across to us that the Holy Spirit has unbelievable power. And I'm going to talk some more about that in a minute. Because in our generation, we need to get back to some of the lessons from the early church to remind ourselves about the possibilities and how God could use us and what God could do with us because of the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit was not just for the early church. And may God challenge us afresh this morning. But secondly, not only do we have the wind, but we have the fire. And fire speaks of purification. Some folks are always looking for ways to do better and to look better. And that's why there are all these commercials for diet and exercise. And folks have been coming to me and I guess encouraging me to pay attention to some of those commercials. And I do pay attention for a minute or two. But that's about it. But you know, God also wants us to improve spiritually. And every day the Holy Spirit is seeking to purify us. Amen? And that's one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit makes us uncomfortable about sin. Have you ever had a situation where you're about to do something and there is a twinge in your heart, in your conscience, where something is saying, don't do it? Has that ever happened to you? The Spirit of God is resident in us, and one of his desires is to purge us, is to purify us. You ever been to one of your favorite restaurants, and I shared this at the Golden Eagles, and seen a sign under new management? When you see that under new management sign, I can see one brother shaking his head already. He feels so sad because he knows the menu is going to be changed. Probably the staff is going to be changed. But I want you to know this is good news. But guess what? It's going to cause some pain. The minute the Holy Spirit takes residence in you, an older person, you might as well get to realize this. The minute you say yes to Jesus, the Spirit of God puts up a sign on your life under new management. You are no longer your own. You can't keep doing the same stuff. And so the Spirit of God, you say, oh, Brother Brian, you make it sound so tough that I have to muscle up. No, you don't have to muscle up, because the Spirit of God is going to make it. Some people say, I don't want to get saved because I'm in too much mess right now. Listen, come to Jesus with your mess. The Spirit of God, it is His job to purify you, and He will, little by little, start changing you. He'll start changing the menu. And soon you'll find out some of the stuff you used to do, you don't do them anymore. Some of the TV programs, some of the places you used to go to, you don't go there anymore. You don't do the same stuff anymore, because the Spirit of God has given you a brand new menu. Amen? But you know, sometimes He also changes the personnel. All them friends you used to run with, them drinking buddies, them boys you used to hang out with at the bar, them girls who used to do no good for you, all of a sudden, as you start talking about the things, what God is doing in your life, you'll suddenly find, man, they don't really want to hang around you too much. He changes the personnel. But then the third thing we find is that they spoke in tongues. But suffice it to say that in the book of the Acts, chapter 2, it is clear that what people talk about today as tongues perhaps is not what the Bible was talking about. Because in Acts chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, it is very clear that what these people were speaking were actually languages that were known to men on earth. Look at verse 6. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own what? Language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? God had done an unbelievable miracle. And people from all over the world were there. And what God was doing is letting these unlearned Galileans, a lot of them uneducated fishermen, they were actually given the power by God to speak languages they had never, ever studied. Tongues is not just going off into what's called glossolalia, where you are babbling and you're saying stuff that nobody understands. Tongues are actual languages known to men on earth that the Spirit of God gives you the ability to speak without actually studying them. What a powerful God we serve. Amen. But thirdly, what are the purposes of the Holy Spirit? Oh, there are a whole lot we could have spoken on, but I'm only going to speak to on three tonight, this morning. And we could have added one, that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to guide us. So you might add that one to your notes if you want to. But I just want to share three with you because of the time constraints that we have. Number one, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, one of the purposes of the old Holy Spirit is to empower us. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord Jesus says, you shall receive what? Power. After the Holy Ghost is come upon you. After the Holy Ghost comes upon you, Jesus said, you will receive power. Say it.
Power.
Let me ask you. Do you believe you have received power? Power for witnessing for sure. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says you should receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be witnesses to me. And that's for sure, power for witnessing. But the second thing I don't want us to miss, that he also gives us power for victorious living. And I'm going to keep on this, I'm going to ride this horse till we get it. I shared this scripture just 2 weeks ago, and here I go again. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, where the Spirit of God says, he is able, that the Lord is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. Don't miss that. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. And he said it's according to the power that's at work in us. What power? The power that's at work in us is the power of the Holy Spirit. God says, because the Holy Spirit is at work in you, you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think. Do you get it? You may say, Brother Brian, then how come I don't sense this power? Be honest now. I know there's somebody out there, there are folks out there, and they're saying, Brother Brian, I don't sense this power. We had a big party planned one holiday all for her family to come by. And that night we realized the heater wasn't working. We woke up, we were cold. And I called the repair service. It might have been Christmas Day. I don't remember what day it was, but I know it was a big holiday. And so they told me, they said, Mr. Grant, we'd be glad to come when we can get around to it. But this is a holiday, and so we only want cash. And he said, it's $140 for us to get there because it's a holiday. And so I had to rush down to the Mac machine and get me my $140. Thank the Lord I had it in the bank. And so I had my $140. And so the man finally come. He came in the door. As he was going down the basement, he clicked the switch. And the thing came on. Can you imagine how I felt? The man was not in there 6 seconds. It didn't take 6 seconds to get to the... $140 in 6 seconds. The power was always there. There was just a simple thing that I needed to do to get the power flowing. And if you are a Christian, stay with me now. If you are here and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you're saying, Brother Brian, I am not sensing this power. I am living a defeated life. I am struggling. I want you to know the problem is not that the power is missing. The problem is you need to do something to get the power flowing. May I suggest two simple things? Can I suggest to you part of the problem we have as Christians? I want the power, but I want to live my way. God, just give me the power so I can use it the way I want to use it. God, I want the power. Then there are some, God, I don't even believe I got the power. Number one, you will never be able to put this power that is in you to its maximum use unless you believe. You know, there's a powerful verse in the word in the Bible. It's reckon. Reckon. Count it to be so. And I'm going to encourage you, my Christian brother and sister, count it to be so. Reckon that you actually have the power of the Spirit of God living in you. Count it as a fact.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
I've been praying for the last several days for that somebody here this morning might be willing to surrender to God, might be willing to say all to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. My friend, part of what is choking the power from flowing is that we refuse to surrender. We refuse to say, God, here is my life. Use me. Take my life. And I would suggest to you, my friend, it's as simple as that. If you would believe God and surrender yourself to Him, He is going to use you in an incredible way. The power of the Spirit of God, you will experience it in your daily life. But if you notice, I keep referring to the Spirit of God as a he, and we'll come back to that in a moment. Let me not rush ahead of myself. But secondly, not only is his work to empower us, but his work is to comfort us. And in John's Gospel chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, John's Gospel chapter 14, turn there with me just for a quick second. John's Gospel chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, Word of God says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, some versions say comforter, to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, he identifies who he is. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. Hallelujah. The Greek word for counselor or comforter is the word paraclete. One who is called to someone's aid. And whether you want, he's the counselor and he's the comforter. If you need a lawyer to plead your case before God, he's your counselor. But when we need comfort, he sticks closer than a brother. Lena Berg served with her father in an evangelistic ministry. As they were traveling by ship, he accidentally fell overboard and drowned. You can imagine what a heart-wrenching experience that was. As the Spirit of God ministered to her, she wrote these words, which we still sing around today, day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I have no cause for worry or for fear. She had experienced the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. You might be right now passing through some tragedy, some trial, some difficulty. I want you to know that the Spirit of God, he has not only come to empower us, he has come to comfort us. Notice I keep saying he, because the Spirit of God is not a force. Oh, I wish I had time to break that down. Because there's so many who think the Spirit of God is a force. No, he is a person. He is the third person of the Godhead. And that's why we can commune with him. That's why we can cuddle up with him. That's why he can comfort us, because he is a person. He came to empower us. He came to comfort us. And finally, he came to convict us. John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 8 and 9. John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 8 and 9. Final scripture for today, John 16, 8 and 9. The Bible says, when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will convict. Let me read verse 7 so you see who I'm talking about. But I tell you the truth, Jesus said, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, and righteousness in judgment in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. To convict means to expose. And one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to expose us, to let us see how sinful we are in the sight of God. I've heard people give testimonies that they came to church and they were so upset because they wondered who told the preacher about them. The preacher must have known all their business. The Spirit of God, his job is to expose. He makes you realize you're not all that hot. And right now, I believe he's speaking to somebody and he's exposing to you the fact that you're a sinner. You say, Brother Brian, I don't really believe I'm a sinner. Well, you know, even the federal government believe you are a sinner. You say, oh, come on, the government don't believe I'm a sinner. I remember when I just came here, you did not have to put your social security number on your income tax return to claim a dependent. You did not have to put your social security number to claim a dependent. So guess what the sinners were doing? Sinners were claiming 6 and 7 dependents. They even gave them names. I remember looking at some people who'd come in my office and I said, I didn't know you had 3 children. Who is Peter? Oh, Peter is the dog. Who is so-and-so? She's the cat. People were literally just putting names and putting. But the government said, you sinners, you better go. You have to have a social security number. And every minute they have to change the code because they know we all are sinners. Somehow, when we get that income tax time comes, all the sinners try to find a way to rob the government. So don't tell me you're not a sinner. Or you say, I didn't cheat the government. But let's be honest. Let's be real. Can we be real? You sinned. In addition to being born a sinner. Come on, you've done some. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, This is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.